Our Father, we are so thankful that, Lord, that when we can't see the way, we know that You're before us. That, Lord, that You have provided for us. And it takes us to just simply trust You. Lord, I pray this morning that You would open our eyes, open our hearts, so that we could see Your word, Your will, and the message that You would have for us today. Let Your Spirit move among us and help us, Lord, to move as You direct. And we'll give You the praise, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our kids are going to be dismissed for Kids Connect as they meet their teacher up front. If you will, take your Bibles with me this morning to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, we're going to back up a little bit into 13, but mainly be in chapter 14 this morning. And as we have come to the point in our Exodus study where we see the nation of Israel is now at the Red Sea. This is a really vivid passage, a lot to it, and it's an exciting passage. As some of you may remember and some of you may have forgotten, this is actually the text that I preached from when I preached in view of a call here, you know, way back when, in 2014. And I promise you, this isn't exactly the same, okay? And so, but I love this passage. There's so much meat in it, and there's so much for us to see and what's going on. And I entitled the message, Forward or Backward? Because we come into places and in situations and times in our life where it feels like we could go forward or we could go backward. And we look at all the things that are going on and we look at the way forward and we think, how am I going to do that? And it seems like it's so easy just to go back. To go back to the way things were in these different places. And these questions of forward or backward. Guys, I got to tell you, having a four-year-old is just crazy. He's giving us a complex right now. Because he's bringing up, we'll talk about some different thing or some action or something, and Finley will pipe up, when I was a grown-up, I did that. When I was a grown-up, I used that tool. We were walking around Home Depot the other day. When I was a grown-up, I used that tool. We need to get it again. You know, the first couple of times we heard that, we were like, okay. But it is sticking. And we're beginning to wonder if this is not Benjamin Button. If he's not growing in reverse or something. When I was a grown-up, I did that. And now Nicole and I just kind of look at each other like, what is going on? But in our life's journey, there's these types of moments that seem to test our faith. Where we look and we say, you know what, going forward just seems so difficult. It's so tiring, and it's so hard to keep walking forward for the Lord, but yet I know this back there. I've been there, and it just seems so easy to go back. Will we go forward, continuing through the hardship and the test with the Lord? Or will we go backward, returning to a bondage of sin or the faithlessness of doing it our way? Sometimes we think our way is so much easier, don't we? When I was just after I graduated high school, the first year of college I spent in New York at Word of Life Bible Institute. And, you know, growing up in Florida, I had never seen snow. And I'll never forget the first time it snowed in New York, and it was about September. And it started snowing, and I'm like, what is this stuff? And I just sat there and watched it. And so, I mean, it's the first time I've seen snow. The heaviest coat you could get in Florida was a windbreaker. I mean, it was just a light jacket. That was the heaviest coat you got. And here I am in New York. I must have put about 15 different layers on to go outside, and it was only 60 degrees because I'm from Florida. And so I just layered up all this stuff. And so I'm experiencing all these new things, and they had snow camp during the wintertime because the campus there was in part of their camp system. And they would bring in about 500 to 600 kids on the weekend from a Friday night to a Sunday afternoon. And we would do a snow camp, a retreat for these guys. And I was a part of the program staff, and I would help run the different games, and I ran the football tournaments, and they thought it was funny. It wasn't wise. They thought it was funny to take this Florida boy and help run the sled dogs. Because they had a student there that was an older student that had the sled and had the sled dogs, and he had all the huskies, and beautiful dogs. And so they thought it was funny, the first time I'd ever seen snow and all this stuff, and here I am running sled dogs. And it was an extremely invaluable learning experience. And I'll never forget the first day that we're out there practicing with the sled, and the guy who owned the sled and the dogs, he said, "I don't care if you remember anything else, you remember this. Never let go. Always hold on to the sled. I don't care if they dump you. I don't care if they turn that sled over on its side. It'll come up eventually. But if you let go, those dogs are gone. They want to run. They want to get out." And so he hooked up these dogs, and you can just see them in the power, the excitement. And boy, that first run, he always did the first run because they were hopping ready to go. And then they took off, and I'll never forget that first time I'm on that sled. He said, "All right, you're up." And I jumped on there, and I put my big number 13 size shoe on that skinny little sled on the back, and I have a death grip, mainly because my hands were already frozen, but I was gripped onto that sled, and it was going through my mind, "Don't let go, don't let go, don't let go." And it was just an oval track, all right? We weren't running through the woods or anything, but I was so nervous, "Don't let go." Went around a curve, did a little bit of a lean, I pushed back down, you know, I was not going to let go. You know, there are times in this Christian life that we need to have that mentality in going forward. I'm going to hold on to the Lord. I'm not going to let go. If I'm going to get dumped over, I know that He is moving, and I know that He's going to guide me and put me where He wants me to be. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to keep with them. Here now is Israel. They can smell the salty sea air of the Red Sea. And they look back in the dust cloud of Pharaoh and his army behind them. Where they were encamped almost with the sea on three sides of them, in a place where they only had one direction forward, and now coming up to their rear was this incredibly powerful Egyptian army in chariots. Will they go forward? Will they return? Let's look at a portion of this story in Exodus 14. Begin with me in verse 10. It said, "When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, 'Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness.' And Moses said to the people, 'Fear not. Stand firm. See the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward.'" Here we see in the midst of all this that's going on, they have now been away from Egypt. They have camped at Sukkoth, and we have seen the instructions that we saw last week in remembering redemption. God was trying to engrave it in their minds. This is what I've done for you. I want you to keep this. I want you to remember how I provided for you that you might be released from Egypt. And so they know the Passover. They know the consecration of the firstborn. They have remembered that redemption. And now here they are in the midst of it. The sea is in front of them. And behind them now comes Pharaoh and his army, coming back to take their slaves back to Egypt. And they're looking at this, and their response is, "Moses, what have you done? We told you, leave us alone." Whenever we get so comfortable with sin that we see no way out, we have taken our eyes off of the Lord. They had already forgot the redemption. They had already forgot the plagues. They had already forgot how God had worked in their life. And this was just a few days removed. Folks, it doesn't take us long to forget what God can do in our life. That's why it's so important for us to stay as close as we can, as often as we can, to Him. And here they are coming behind them, and they're complaining, they're griping. They give this sarcastic remark. "Did you bring us out here because there weren't graves in Egypt for us to die in? Was it not better to die in Egypt?" Sarcasm is nothing but drama. And here they are trying to bring this out. And yet Moses says, "Fear not." And the Lord tells them, "Tell the people of Israel, go forward." So how do we go forward instead of backward? The first thing I want you to see from this passage is we need to keep God up front. Keep God up front. If you look back in chapter 13, before we even get here to 14, I want you to see this. In chapter 13, verse 17, notice how God is directing them. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, "Lest the people change their minds when they see the war and return to Egypt." But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here." And they moved on from Sukkoth and encamped at Etham and on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, did not depart from before the people. God's presence before the people, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. And most scholars believe that this was probably a pillar of fire throughout the day and night. That during the day, all that was seen was the smoke and the cloud around it. And then at night, the fire being visible. But before them is this presence of God. It harkens back to the burning bush and the bush that was not consumed by fire. But God was leading His people. He was directing them. He didn't want to take them by the way of the Philistines. Because He said that even though that was near, even though that was close, that was the way of war. He was positioning the people. Chapter 14, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. In the front of Baal Zephon, you shall encamp facing it by the sea." The Lord was positioning Israel right where He wanted, not to go the way of the Philistines. Was it because God couldn't take care of that? No, God could fight for them there. But what did it say? Lest they would get fearful of the war. You know, sometimes when God shuts a direction off, He's protecting us. He knows what lies that direction. But no, now he puts them in a position. The sea is facing them. The sea is in front of them. God is moving them. And he's doing so that he might continue to show himself great to the Egyptians. In verse 3 of 14, "For Pharaoh will say to the people of Israel, 'They are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord.'" So God was positioning Israel right where he wanted them to be. Sometimes when we look at these impossible circumstances, we look at these impossible situations, that we need to understand that God can still lead us. That God is either leading us or he's allowing us to be in this position so that he can show himself as that leader, as that one that can direct. Because not only is he positioning Israel, he's also preparing Pharaoh. In verse 5, "When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people. And they said, 'What is this that we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us?' So he made ready his chariot, took his army with him, and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly." Israel is positioned. Pharaoh is pursuing. As God is preparing Pharaoh in this. You see how quickly Pharaoh's mind's changing back and forth? All throughout the plagues, "I'm going to let him go. No, I'm not. Yes. No, yes, no. Finally, go, get out. They're gone. They're wandering." And this direction that God's taking them, it's making Israel look like, well, where are they going? They're just kind of wandering out in that space. And the Egyptians look at them and say, "Why have we let them go?" Pharaoh's mind changes again. This is in great contrast to who God is. Pharaoh constantly changing his mind. God, the one who doesn't change. He prepares a great army. The description here, you have 600 chosen chariots and all other the chariots of Egypt. In a chariot, you would have the driver. You'd have a warrior that would go along in the chariot. At this time and at this point, this was the top of the line military and weaponry in the chariots. This was why they were so powerful. This is why they were so feared. But not only now do they have a driver and a warrior, Pharaoh puts in an officer, a specially trained one that's in this group, three people to a chariot. They're coming after Israel with everything they got. But we keep God up front. God is directing Israel. He's preparing Pharaoh, and he is going to show them who he is. When we question where God is leading us, we need to understand he's already there. He's already there. He is working in us to bring about a desired result. Philippians 1:6 says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." And so while Israel is wandering and they're getting to this place, they're encamped by the sea, people are watching. Just like in our lives. When we are being led by God, people are watching. They're wondering, why are they doing this? Why is this happening? When it looks like everything is going crazy in your life, and yet you're still taking steps with the Lord, people are watching. They're seeing this. Pharaoh was watching. Now they're pursuing. And while God was positioning Israel, preparing Pharaoh, he was directing Israel each step to a place where he could build their faith. We need to trust his plan. Trust his perfect time. Trust his perfect purpose. It's like sometimes we pray trying to tell God where he's messed up. Of God, you might not have got this right. I was supposed to have the answer last week. Of God, I was supposed to come into this money this week. God, you, I need you to take care of this and do this according to my plan and my time schedule. But God has a perfect plan. He has a perfect time schedule. And even when it looks hard to go forward, we trust His plan. Keep God up front. Let Him direct. The pillar was up front. Let Him direct. Too many times it's easy for us to put God behind us and say, why don't you come where I go? I'm going to take the steps. I want to go my direction. You come with me. And unfortunately, we try to live our lives according to our rules and bring God along with us. I'm telling you, it doesn't work that way. When we want to live our own way, live in our sin, and then we can quote Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not an evil, to give you an expected end. And we write that on our chalkboards. And we live in our sin. And then we say, well, you know what? These trials are coming because, you know, God, He's going to work this out. Maybe the trials come because you're living the way you want to. You're living in your sin. And God's trying to correct you. But yet here, Israel has God in front. Don't put them in a following position. Keep God in front. Keep Him directing where you're going. And once God is up front, let Him lead. Move forward by keeping God up front. Secondly, move forward by walking by faith, not fear. Walk by faith, not fear. We've seen Israel's response when they see the Egyptians coming about. Can you imagine? Put yourself in this position. All right, I know it's hard for us to think about traveling such great distances without our nice air conditioner vehicles. But even traveling 10 miles on Interstate 20 can be just as daunting today. But imagine them standing here encamped and they're looking out and all they see in front of them is nothing but this Red Sea, this large body of water. I know there are some people who have tried to say that, you know, they were really at the Reed Sea and not the Red Sea. And it was a smaller body of water. Well, there was no understanding of a Reed Sea back in that day. It was all the words that are used to describe the Red Sea always referred to the Red Sea. They're standing in front of this huge body of water. That's all they see in front of them is this horizon of water. And as they look back, here comes the greatest power militarily that they have seen. All they have are hand weapons and all these things that are around them. They're just a traveling nation at this point. They have impossible odds with impossible options. They don't see a direction. And so what? They desire a retreat in fear. Let us go back to the graves in Egypt. Let us go back to sarcastic response. Let us go back to bondage. When we take our eyes off of God's direction, sometimes it's easy for us to look back and say, why don't I just go back? Let me go back to this bondage. Let me go back to all these different things before all this. I know this. It's comfortable. And yet there is nothing good that comes from it. Let us be no change. So here we see a response. How well do we respond to our walk with the Lord? That's when Moses steps up. Fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. And I love verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent. Now we look and we think of this, oh, Moses has given him wise words here. And really in the Hebrew, the connotation is here is shut your mouth. Moses was being very curt with him at this time. He's being very to the point. Quit your griping. Watch God. Can you imagine? I mean, you got to think, this is the same Moses that we're going to see here in a little bit, that Israel's griping and they're complaining. God tells them to tap the rock. He's going to strike the rock. There's a little bit of this building up in Moses. They've just seen all the plagues. They've just seen all these different things. He's trying to walk with them and show them the Lord and how God's providing. They're at this point, they're griping. Why didn't you take us back? They're getting really sarcastic. You know, it's like when a 10-year-old tells you that they know better than you, right? And this is all going on, and Israel's griping, and they're complaining. And Moses says, be quiet. All right? This is when he goes into that teacher voice, right, for you teachers? Be quiet. Fear not. Stand firm. Realize who your God is today. He's going to fight for you. Walk by faith. Sometimes we all need that little reminder. Be quiet. Walk in faith. See God's work. You see the Egyptians? This should be proof that God is going to work in you again. The Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. Moses takes the leadership and he points Israel to God Almighty. Remember who your God is. Remember where He's taking you to. You know, God is giving us opportunities for trusting or for turning. Here Israel stood in the place to either trust or to turn. The enemy's in pursuit, and that should not draw us away from our God who we know fights for us. So when hardships are come, we see our attitude. Sometimes it's easy to go back to what we know, but yet, even when the present looks tough, we can walk by faith. I love the words of David. Psalm 56, verse 13, for you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. If you have trust Him with your eternal soul, you can trust Him with your daily feet and your daily walk. We've got to trust and walk by faith. You know, it was an important lesson that I learned one day on the lake. Growing up in Florida, there's lakes 5 minutes any direction. And, you know, there's all kinds of the water sports and water skiing and blobs and all those types of things. Well, it wasn't until we went to Lake Powell in Utah that I decided to try all this. We had to go across the country for me to try water skiing. And so we're out there on vacation in Lake Powell in Utah, and we got the skis set up and everything, and my dad throws me out there, and I got the skis sticking out of the water, and I got my life jacket on. I'm holding on for dear life. My dad's telling me, all right, whenever the rope gets tight, then we're going to go. And when we hit go, you lean back. So the rope's going to pull you forward. You lean back and you hold on to that rope and you pull it in and you lean in and you let the boat pull you on top of the water. Trust it, lean back, let the boat pull you up. Got it. Let's go. I was so overzealous and overestimating my abilities. Because my dad, we got the rope tight, and he laid the hammer down, put that boat going, it starts moving forward, and I went, boom, just like that. Didn't lean back at all, let that rope take me, it goes forward, and I am drinking Utah Lake Powell, all right? I am drinking all of it. And it goes, and it goes, and goes, and I'm just drinking it, and it stops, gets reset. He says, lean back. Let the boat pull you up. Hold it in close to your chest. Let the boat get you on top of the water. But no, hits it again. What do? You know, and back down, you know, and I'm submarining underwater and just this cascade of water over the top of me. I drank so much water that day because I didn't trust. I didn't hold back. Sometimes it takes some power. It takes some ability to hold back and to trust and to let the boat pull you up. Sometimes we got to hold back. We got to trust in the Lord and understand He's going to pull us up. He's going to get us with His power. He's going to put us where He wants us to be. Israel is learning who this God is through the Passover and now at the Red Sea. Walk by faith. And then thirdly, we move forward to enlist in something bigger than us. Enlist in something bigger than us. Here we see all this transpiring, all this is going on, and we can sit there and think, you know what, God is really working on Israel here, but I want you to see what God is doing. God is moving. God is providing for them. Notice in chapter 14, verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry land, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The sea returned to its normal course, and the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and their left. I think I would have been the one next to the wall of the water, just kind of walking with your hand in it. They're walking on dry ground. They're seeing all this. All this is happening. They look behind us, and here comes Pharaoh. Here comes the chariots. All this is going on. They're walking, and as they get through, the Lord is confounding the chariots. It's driving. Maybe while it's dry, it's still that sandy bottom of the Red Sea, and it's clogging the chariots. Who knows what all is going on? The Lord brings a confusion over them. Not just a mental confusion, but we see that they are driving through the middle of this. Well, I guess if Israel can do this, I guess we can do it too, right? They're following after them. All this is going on, and God is working through all of this, and Israel goes through on dry ground. And as soon as they're through, Moses closes the waters. Now you're the Egyptian army, and you look up, and you see that water just begin to pound. No army is left. Everything destroyed. Israel is looking back. They're safe. And you can sit there and think, wow, look what God did for us. But notice what God had been telling Israel the whole time. In chapter 14 and verse 4, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and will pursue them and will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." And they did so. In verse 18, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." In verse 25, "In clogging their chariot wheels, they drove heavily, and the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians.'" And then verse 30 and 31, thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw that great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and His servant Moses. Sometimes when we're looking at which way to go, we're wondering whether to go forward or where to go backward. Understand that when God is working at us, there is a bigger picture that He can perform. That sometimes it's bigger even than your circumstances, bigger even than what you're going through, because there might be someone, some person, some part of your family, some person at work, somebody that is watching on your life. And not only is God going to deliver you and work through your life for your sake, but there's someone else that God's wanting to touch and reach through this process too. That God has got something bigger than what we can imagine. That moving forward, that growing in the Lord is more than just doing it for our sake, but it's enlisting us in something that is bigger than us, that we might make an impact larger than our reach. It opens the door to spread God's name and His glory to all around us, even to the world together. When we enlist in something bigger than us. A few years back, Peter King, a writer for Sports Illustrated at the time, he wrote what was called the Monday Morning Quarterback, telling different stories that had gone on in the NFL. This was back in 2011. It was back when the NFL was all wrapped up in Tebow mania. Tim Tebow was playing for the Denver Broncos. No one thought he was an NFL quarterback. No one thought that he could play in the NFL, and yet they were winning. They had just come from behind and beat the Minnesota Vikings. And Peter King had this interview. I want to read his words. He said, "I spoke with Tebow, who was the most polite interview in the NFL history, while at the same time spilling zero beans after the game. I asked him if he felt what was going on around the country right now, with people everywhere zoned in on his incredible, quirky, starry, and winning run. 'You know, I'm not sure,' he said. 'I know the Lord has blessed me and blessed our team. Some of what is said out there can be motivating to me, but every game is the opportunity for me to live my dream of being an NFL player. I think we'd all rather be ahead 15 or 20 in the fourth quarter, but the feel on the sideline, trusting each other and knowing we can do it every week, that has been a special part of this team.' King adds, 'Before I let Tebow go, I asked him if anyone after the game, coaches, players, execs, had said anything memorable to him. Everybody was happy, he said, but I'll tell you one thing that happened during the week that I remember.' Peter King said, 'Good. I thought maybe John Fox, the Broncos head coach, maybe sidled up to him and said something sportingly profound, like, son, we're going to ride that left arm and those legs to the Super Bowl. But here was Tebow's recollection. I had an opportunity to talk with a kid named Blake Appleton from Florida on Thursday. He's a leukemia patient who's just been moved to hospice. And after the game, when I was being interviewed on TV, I got to say his name. That's what I'm proud of today. I let him know people cared about him. I let him know God has a plan for him." Blake Appleton was a son of a girl I went to youth group with in our church. He had leukemia and he had a brain tumor. And he wrote in a wish and about some different things, and then out of the blue, somehow Tim Tebow had gotten his name and number, and Tim Tebow called him, talked with him. Later on, they would fly him out to a Denver Bronco game, and he got to meet him. But here was just this kid, Blake, an NFL quarterback, could have been talking about anything, thinking about winning a Super Bowl, and he said, "You know what, there was one thing that's going to stick in my mind. I got to say a kid's name." That he used his position for something bigger than him. You know what, when we go forward in the midst of hard circumstances, When we go forward, when things look impossible and people are wondering, where is your God now? When we continue to go forward, we get to enlist in something bigger than us. Because we get to say that there's a God who saves. There's a God who directs. Israel was being prepared to be a people of movement, to go forward. God was creating tension for their faith. He was testing their faith, and He triumphed for their faith. Because a consistent forward march is a victory march of faith. That if we keep moving forward in the face of the opposition, we are marching in a victory march to say, my God said it is finished. That sin does not hold dominion over me anymore. And regardless of what might go on around this world, I know I can walk with Him because He took care of it. It's a march of faith. A people of movement through faith are moving forward for God's glory, for His name. And it's not just for us, but it's God's glory and witness to others, such as the Egyptians. This Red Sea crossing reminds us that God has the victory. He has completed the work. Through Christ on the cross, we move forward because God's victory has come over sin and death. There's really an interesting connection that we see there in that passage in 13 and verse 19. It says, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. This connects even the Red Sea crossing to the covenant that God made with Abraham. That through you, through your seed, I'm going to make a great nation. And through your seed, I'm going to bless the nations of the earth. And Joseph said, take my bones back to the promised land. Why? Because God will show up. God will come. And Moses is bringing these bones back. And now when it looked impossible, they were not going backward. They had to go forward to continue on in this path of faith, to continue that connection. Because Israel was moving forward to a promised land that God had for them. Because in that promised land, there's going to be a little shepherd whose name was David. He was going to be born in this town of Bethlehem, and he was going to be a king of Israel. And there in that little town of Bethlehem, there was going to be a manger. And in that manger, there was going to come a little baby who was going to be 100% human and 100% God. And He was going to live a sinless life so that one day He could die as our substitute on a rugged cross. And He could be our victory. We move forward as a victory march of faith. Because we know of what God has done, and He will surely come in the future. Moving forward tells others, we have a great promise and a greater day coming. So now it's up to us. Will you move forward or backward? Shall we stand? As you stand this morning, I don't know every situation or circumstance that might be in this room this morning, but I do know what we have seen in Scripture, and I do know that God is able. Whatever might be going on in your heart, whatever might be going on in your life today, I want you to know that you can sit there and say with Moses, I'm going to fear not. I'm going to stand firm because the Lord fights for me. I'm going to move forward in faith. Today, whatever might be going on in your heart, in your life, I want to tell you that God wants you to move forward and grow and walk with Him. Yes, it's easy to go backward. Yes, it's easy to go back to that bondage, to go back to that sin, to go back to that earlier way of life. It might seem more comfortable, but it will not be as victorious. Today, you can have victory through Jesus Christ. Move forward. Keep God up front. What today do you have in front of God's leadership in your life? Maybe this morning you need to move that back and let God be up front. Are you letting fear overtake your walk this morning? Maybe you need to walk by faith, trusting and knowing God and who He is and the direction in which He can lead you. And then enlist in something bigger, powerful and mighty. This morning, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing in a time of response. The altar is going to be open. However God might be leading and working in your life, I pray that you respond to Him. That we move forward. Our dearly Father, Lord, just work in us now. Help us, Lord, to go forward with You. To follow Your leading. To keep You up front. To see You do the great and mighty things in our life. And we'll give You the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.